Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
The views expressed here within the programs and chats do not necessarily represent the views of LiveParanormal.com.
LP Web Design, 100% custom websites, entry pages, Twitter backgrounds, banners, and more. For more information, please visit LiveParanormal.com. The official web designer of the stars.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
Welcome to another edition of My Darkest Hour right here on LiveParanormal.com, History FM Radio. I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me tonight here on a nice Thursday evening. And like I told you guys last week, this week I was going to bring on a friend from the show, Mr. Doug Carnahan. A lot of people remember me talking about him and having him on the show. I went to Preston Castle and had a great experience, and I want to invite him back onto the show to talk about some upcoming events for April that we're going to be doing for a couple of events. So let's see if we can get him on the show, and we'll just take it from there. Doug, you out there?
Hey, brother. Thanks for having me on the show again. I really appreciate it. You didn't get enough of me the first time, huh?
Nope. Had to come back for more, buddy.
You're a glutton for punishment, my friend.
That's right. I'm like, you know what? You know who hasn't picked on me in a while? Doug, I got to have him on the show, so it's about time. Good to have you back, man.
Thanks, brother. It's always great to come onto the show and share some stories back and forth. It's always fun.
Yeah. Like I was saying before to the people that I had a great time at the Preston Castle Paracon, which I talked about for weeks and weeks after, and, you know, we've seen 10,000 pictures I put up of it, of course. And so I thought it'd be a great chance for us to talk about the St. Mary's Paracon event coming up. And there's a lot of people down in my area and in the Los Angeles paranormal scene that have been talking about this event. Some people coming up from there, and now that it's coming in closer, people that I know are asking me about that. I was like, so you going to that Paracon in Virginia City and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be great. So I figured this would be a great chance for you to come on, tell everyone what's going on with it, and just kind of basically see what we're looking for. I'm sure no matter what we're planning on doing there. It's going to be more than that because this is the kind of place that you don't really know what can happen because it's got so much activity. And, one of my big dreams of being an investigator is spending more time in Virginia City, of course, so that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, the Preston Castle Paracon that was last September, and, of course, we're holding it again this coming September. What can you say? Preston Castle in itself is an amazing location. We've always had a good turnout, and a lot of people have always had really good activities normally when we've been there, and it's always been a really fun event. But we switch it off a little bit when we go to the St. Mary's Paracon. It's a little different kind of atmosphere in that Preston is a little on the darker side, and St. Mary's is, even though it's an old Catholic hospital that was built by the Sisters of Mercy back in the 1800s for the miners that were working there in Virginia City. It's still it's kind of got a lighter atmosphere. It's got a nurturing kind of type of haunted existence there. But on the other hand, what's really cool about the Paracon in Virginia City, St. Mary's Paracon, is Friday night at our meet and greet, we're going to be at the world famous, renowned WashU Club, the WashU Saloon there in Virginia City.
Yeah,
and
awesome. Look at that.
Yeah, yeah. WashU Club is amazing. And then what we're doing this year, this is the first time we've done this, and they were gracious enough to let us do that. We're holding our meet and greet from 6 to 9, and then from 9 to midnight, what we're going to do is a lucky handful of people. They only allow us so many people to go up, so there's still a couple tickets left, but we're going to go upstairs into the Millionaires Club upstairs, and if you've never been there, and if you've seen it on TV, I know it's been on Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures. Has been up there numerous times with Mark and Debbie Constantino has been up there with them as well. And it is definitely an e-ride. It's definitely an amazing location with an amazing history up there. It's a little darker on the side than it is from St. Mary's right down the hill. It's not as nurturing because it's, there's been quite a few incidents there where there's been said to have been, murders and the brothel and the whole nine yards. It's still the Wild West up there. And the funny thing about Virginia City is it's still the Wild West. Everybody there dresses in Western garb as if they're in character. And I think this actually helps out a lot to bring the spirits out in that particular location because of the way that the locals, go about their business there. So it's really an amazing location.
Yeah, there's been so much history there. I mean, I remember there were wasn't a girl who committed suicide in one of the rooms, and that's one of the rooms that Zach and the guys spent the night in, right? Was that the Washoe Club?
Well, that is it's a hotel. That's not at the WashU Club. That's down the street at a hotel. I think it's the Silver Dollar Hotel. And they spent the night in one of the rooms there where I believe one of the prostitutes committed suicide in the bathtub, slitting her wrist or something like that. So that's not actually at the WashU. It's down the street. I believe it's the Silver Dollar Hotel. But, yeah, I mean, it's right down the street, and it's all – every time you go – any building you go into, somebody's going to tell you a ghost story. Not years ago. That happened yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the place is that active.
Well, I know the WashU Club has that – they have like a haunted museum thing there. You can check out some of the relics and stuff. So that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, yeah. In the back room, they do have a museum back there that has a lot of – memorabilia from that era, has a lot of history also has a lot of the Ghost Adventures crew. They have a little thing there that they, you know, about when they investigated there. So they're really in tune to the history and to the haunted history, of that particular location. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. I'm looking forward to that. It should be great. I've been talking to Psychic Don about that. He wants to go check out a couple other places up there. But like you were saying to me, pretty much everywhere you go up there is haunted. It's got something going on with it because it's so much history. It's so old, you know.
Yeah, as you know as well as I do, Don Staggs, who's who we're talking about, Don is so intuitive and so open-minded as far as, you know, absorbing, you know, spirits that way. They're just drawn to him. So he's going to have a whale of a time up there. He's going to probably need to turn it off a little bit for a while to get any kind of rest. But, he's really going to have an amazing time up there. And I'm looking forward. I haven't, of course, seen him or you or anybody from the Preston of late. So it's going to be fun to get back together with everybody, with all my friends and new friends and old friends. You know, we always have – the great thing about the Paracons is every year we have people come back and we get to share stories and talk about, you know, what they've been doing. And then we get new people that always come in and we get to talk to them and help them grow in the field. And it's fun. It's amazing to be able to get people together and share.
Yeah, I could totally agree, especially you get these people that are kind of getting into it and they're learning more and more about it, and you take them to these incredible places. You just get to see the look on their face when they truly experience something, you know, like over the top, because, you know, you go to these little places and things happen and stuff, but then you go to a place like Preston and it's just so condensed and so many things happening at the same time. It's just incredible. I mean, I had so much equipment on me and I was walking around and things were just dying left and right. I mean, all the equipment was just going, you know, just like, it was unbelievable. Switching batteries out and taking more pictures and having it just cut right off. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, and a little theory of mine is because we've always been successful with having a lot of activity during the investigations after the Paracons. And my theory is the Paracons conjure up so much energy while we're there. I think it just overflows to the rest of the building. And it really, the spirits are really in tune to, you know, absorbing that energy. And I really think it really, you know, of course it piques their curiosity up, you know, what are all these people doing up here? But I think it really helps generate a lot of energy for the spirits to be able to, you know, to move amongst us, you know, to interact with us, to manifest if that's what they want to do. So we've had an amazing amount of evidence that people have captured. And a lot of people go, oh, there's too many people. We're not going to capture anything. That's not always necessarily the case. I know Brandon Alvin has captured a lot of amazing footage and also EVPs during our investigations at the Paracon. So, I can see both sides of the coin there. But for these type of investigations, for the Paracon type of investigations, I think the energy really helps bring the spirits out.
Well, it's true because, you know, that is one of the theories out there that you have more people in a room and obviously the energy in the bodies, they're giving off all that heat and it's ionizing the air in the room and ghosts can feed off that, plus all the electricity from people and all their equipment. You know, it's like we're feeding that environment. So I think it's what they're trying to do is they're trying to just concentrate on little EVPs and they're looking for little things when – in such a mass environment with so many people, you're actually looking for bigger things. So like I was saying, we're walking around and things were happening and equipment was going crazy and everyone's, you know, every room people were in, something was going on. So like you're saying, all the energy is just feeding all these different energies, these entities that just kind of manifest and do their thing, give them the that energy. Plus, you know, it's quiet in these locations every single day, and all of a sudden here comes a Paracon, and there's just a bunch of people going crazy, and it's probably freaking them out, like, what's going on now? What are these crazy people doing here, you know?
Yeah.
So it does feed
yeah.
the curiosity.
Yeah.
Because
and,
even outside,
and,
we're standing outside on those, where the outhouses were in the back right there,
uh-huh.
we were getting crazy tri-field meter hits and stuff. You know, the K2s were
going. Oh, wow.
Random
yeah.
spots walking. All of a sudden that spike would just disappear. It's like, what was that?
Yeah, and I can see that happening there. Yeah, I can definitely see that happening there at Preston, for sure. There's definitely it's not just, you know, contained into the building. It's definitely outside the building as well. So
yeah, the whole area.
But
cool.
Yeah, so but I really do think that what we have going on at St. Mary's, you know, we're starting our meet and greet off with a real bang. We got we're going to have DJ Cogs or Koss, I'm sorry, DJ Koss is going to be doing a DJ performance for us at our meet and greet and for the first 2 or 3 hours there at the Washington Club. So that's definitely going to kick it off. I mean, we're going to have so much energy that's going to go on up into the Millionaires Club. There is no way that people that's going to investigate Friday night at the Millionaires Club is going to walk away and go, I didn't get anything. It's not going to happen. So,
yeah.
Now, as I said, the Millionaires Club is a little darker than what we're going to be dealing with Saturday night at the investigation after the conference there down at the hospital. But it's you get the best of both worlds, as far as I'm concerned. You know, two investigations, the two amazing locations, the lineup of speakers and people are going to be there, and vendors is amazing. And we've always had an amazing time.
That's good. I'm excited for it. So is anyone speaking on Friday night, or are we just hanging out getting ready for a Saturday?
No, Friday's going to be our meet and greet at the WashU Club there at the saloon from 6 to 9. Everybody has tickets for that is going to come on in, and we're going to have, as I said, we're going to have DJ Cogs is going to be performing for us. So we're going to have a lot of music. We're going to have food and snacks, and the bar is going to be fully open. Anybody wants, you know, beverage or it's there for them, and just the atmosphere itself, just being standing at a saloon, you know, tavern bar that's been there since, you know, the 1860s and leaning up against, you know, and a bar that, you know, who knows, you know, what, you know, somebody from the past has been leaning up against it. Just the history there is absolutely amazing. So we're going to do that, and then from 9 to midnight, those who have tickets for the special investigation upstairs will be doing that. And then come Saturday, we'll kick it off with our down the street there at the St. Mary's Hospital, which is right down the road from the WashU Club. We'll be kicking that off with our speakers. We'll have lectures and speakers, vendors all day, and then after our dinner break, we come back, and then we'll be investigating all four floors of the St. Mary's Hospital from 10 to 2.
That's going to be awesome. You know what? I just thought about this. I'm going to dress up as a cowboy.
There you go.
What do you think?
There you go.
What do you think?
Because I know Scott. That'd be awesome, because I know Scott's going to be dressing up as a ballerina, so you guys can kind of dance around him.
Yeah, but ballerina really probably wouldn't generate as much. See, if I could spark some kind of residual thing, because I've got that whole, I got my duster and my boots and the whole, I got that hat that I wear all the time. So it might generate something as we're walking around.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, I'm big on those kind of things where, you know, if you dress up for the era, during the era, you bring a lot of things in that are, you know, well-known for the era that, you know, they're familiar with, I think that definitely helps. Actually, you know, all kidding aside, last year Scott came in with a preacher's costume on. So I don't know. I don't know if he helped generate any kind of type of experience there or not, but you never know.
Yeah, you know what? For one of the nights, I'm gonna try it and see what happens. If not, I can just go back and change. I think it's interesting. It's a good experiment, you know.
Yeah, I mean it's well worth a shot for sure.
Well, he does wild stuff anyway. I don't even know if he's really looking for ghosts anymore. He's just kind of doing his own thing.
Who's that? I'm sorry.
Scott.
Is Scott looking for ghosts anymore?
I don't know if he's
looking
for
him.
Ghosts.
I don't
he just
think
kind
he's
of goes out there
him.
And gets wild and does his own thing. So that's cool.
Yeah. Well, they come looking for him. I don't think he's looking for him anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. How could you? If you're a ghost walking by, how could you not stop and look at that? It's like, really?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Yeah.
Great.
Scott is an amazing entertainer. I'm so happy and glad that he's chose to join us at some of our Paracons. So it's a fun time. You never know what he's going to bring to the show, you know?
Nope, you never do know. Plus, with the two cons, you don't know what to expect either because everything kind of happens at the last minute. You show up and you're like, whoa, what's going on? So it's always an adventure with Scott.
For sure. And that's another thing that we really enjoy. You know, a lot of Paracons you go to, it's all, you know, dead serious. You don't want to blink because, you know, you might offend somebody. You know, we want to have fun. We do entertain. We do educate. We want everybody to enjoy themselves. And that's what we do at the Paracons is we give them a little bit of everything. And that way, you know, they're not leaving wanting anything else. You know, it's all good.
That'd be great. Lisa just says that she's going to try to dress. She might dress up as a nun.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that should be
interesting. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that trigger, you know, that setting that up as a trigger object is definitely a possibility of interacting with a spirit.
Yes. So, hey, well, what else have you been up to, man? I haven't talked to you in a few months, so tell me what's going on with Doug.
Doug's a busy man.
Yeah.
I'm always doing something. You know, I've been busy preparing for the next Preston Kappa Paracon, so we're going to have some interesting and new things are going to be going on there, and that's in September again. What is it, 19th, 20th, and 21st? September. So we just turned it on for people to buy tickets if they want. they requested that we were getting a little bit too big for them. So Preston themselves has asked us to cut back on our people to come in. So it's going to be not as many people are going to be investigating and being part of it. So it's going to be a little bit more exclusive, I guess you could say, this coming year. But, you know, we got to go by their guidelines and their rules, and that's what we'll do. So, but we do have some great people are going to be there. Yourself is going to be there. We're going to have Sid Schultz is going to come and join us. So we haven't had him at a Paracon yet. Bill Murphy from Fact and Fake is going to,
awesome.
To be joining us there. And then we're going to have some regulars. Don's going to be joining us. If Scott's available, maybe Scott can join us as well. So, and who else are we going to have? Going to have, I don't know. My mind went blank for a second. You know, just a list of people. We like to, you know, there's so many people that I like to bring to the conference, but I can't bring everybody all the time. So we're going to mix it up a little bit this time in September. So there'll be some new faces and some old faces. So, but it's going to be a great time.
Always is. That's going to be fantastic, man. I'm looking forward to that too.
Yep. So we got that going. We got some stuff in the works that you know how this goes. We can't really talk about it, but there's some stuff in the works that's coming up here really soon, as early as in a couple of weeks. We'll be doing something that maybe we can talk about down the road. And then after the Paracon in May, there's going to be some filming starting and stuff. So looking forward to all that going on. So
nice.
Yeah, so it's, you know.
Some new investigations coming up for you guys?
We are going to be having some. We've been kind of on a little bit of a laxation as far as investigating. Most of the crew have been doing family stuff and getting their stuff out of the way. But come May, we're rallying back up together again, and we got a lot of stuff scheduled to do at that point. So we're looking forward to getting back out there. You know, we have a lot of people say, you know, they're jonesing to go out and investigate. And we're the same way. We want to go out. We love to go out and investigate, helping people. You know, we take a lot of the dark cases that people refer over to us. But, you know, nothing against new people in the field, but they're getting involved with you know, some negative stuff that they're not really capable of handling. And I'm really proud of them for, you know, seeking out help from people like yourself or myself that have been in the field a long time and have had, you know, a lot of experience with some dark stuff. And, you know, they're smart enough to turn it over and say, hey, it's out of, I can't help them. I can't handle it. Can you help me? And so I'm seeing a lot of that in the field lately, and I'm really, you know, I really want to applaud those teams out there that are, you know, just starting out. They're getting their feet wet, and they come across something that's out of their hands, or, you know, it's not something they want to mess with, and then they're seeking out people that can help them and help their clients. So we do a lot of that, and we're going to be doing that moving forward in May as well.
Well, that's a huge thing. There's a lot of teams out there that are really trying to, you know, just kind of jump into the industry and the field, and they don't really have the experience. And, you know, if you say something to them, they take it offensively, of course, because they don't know what, you know, what they should and shouldn't be doing. But those ones that do know, they're getting involved, and if it's something that they know they can't handle or they don't understand, to turn it over and to bring somebody else with more experience in that can. You know, and I know a lot of it is new teams are worried that the other team or the other person is going to take it over and they're not going to have their loop to it. But in a lot of cases, that's not true at all. You know, you bring these teams in, and then when they call you, you go out there and you explain it to them, and you kind of show them what's going on with it, and you kind of educate them at the same time. And I think that's great. A lot of investigators helping out the new breed, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, you and I and people on down the road that's been doing this a long time, we're not going to be able to do it forever. I mean, we can't, you know, we all have an expiration point, so to speak. And we do need to bring along people that that we can educate and help them grow in the field so they can carry on and help those clients and those people, those families that really do need the help, that aren't out there for personal gain, but they're out there to try and just get their life back, get their family back, their homes back from, you know, something that is haunting them that is not of a good nature.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, I see a lot of people that are getting new into the field, and they're showing up these different events and stuff. And then I see a lot of people, and this is what's weird about the paranormal field, you know, it's almost like any other field, and people start, like, disrespecting other people and putting other people down and saying they're not experienced because they're dumb and blah, blah, blah. But I look at it as like, okay, if you truly feel that this person doesn't know what they're doing, you know, instead of sitting there, you know, just yapping at them, trying to put them down and make them feel stupid, why don't you explain it to them and why don't you show them what you're thinking? Educate them. You know, just don't chastise people. If you don't think they're strong enough, we'll help them become stronger. We're trying to get the next people up to speed so we know that, you know, there's going to be helpful investigators out there.
I agree with what you're saying, but on the other hand, I don't want to play devil's advocate, but on the other hand, there's a lot of people out there when you try to explain something to them or help them, they take offense to it as well. So everybody has to be in the right state of mind and maybe present it in the right way in order to help people. Because there's a lot of people that are claiming to be experts, you know, being in the field 2 or 3 months. Out there, and it's like, I've been doing it over 30 years and I ain't even close to being an expert. I pretty much know what I'm doing, but I'll tell you what, it's like anything else. It's never, no investigation has ever been the same that I've ever been to, and I've been to well over 500 investigations. And every single one.
Well, I tell people about different kinds of experiments and techniques. I tell them, try everything you know and keep a record of it. Then try it again and see if there's a difference. You know, then if you start doing the research and comparisons, that's going to lead you on the path of, okay, we're doing this right, so let's try a little bit of this, and it keeps you in that direction. A lot of people, and this is kind of sad because, you know, I know a lot of people that are on these reality or non-reality TV shows out there. You know, these people are not really experts. I know these people could be good, you know, and they're great people, but I wouldn't consider them experts. No. I mean, I want to go to Paracons where there's somebody who knows more, where I want to invest my time, and I want to hear from somebody who knows about the paranormal, and they're investigating, and they're serious about it. I mean, that's great to hear the stories about when these guys are filming their shows and the funny things that happen or what was weird that happened.
Absolutely.
But I want to learn something from somebody else. I want to go to see a pioneer talk to me and go, man, that guy is, he knows all about that one thing. I always wondered about that, and he knew the answer. That's cool. So,
yeah, there's, again, you and I know that filming a so-called reality show, and you know what? I'm not going to knock them. Because I'd love to have a reality show. I'd love to travel all around the world and get paid to go to these amazing locations and do these amazing things. I would love it. You know, is it going to happen? We'd all probably have a better chance of winning a lotto than to snag a paranormal reality show. But, you know.
Yeah, good one. You're traveling all over the U.S. or all over the world and going to these crazy places.
Oh, that would be awesome. I love it.
Yeah, I could totally get Jason through it. That wouldn't be a problem for me.
Yeah. But the chances are really slim to none that that's going to happen with the majority of people out there. So what is it left that you're – why else are you in the field? For me, I'm in the field because – and I know you're the same way. You want to help people. You want to educate people. You want to help people get their sanity back, their life back. I mean, how many times have you talked to somebody and the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, you're going to think I'm crazy? And it's like, no, not yet I don't. So what do you got going? Let's tell me what you have and we'll see where we go from there. But, I mean – but it's a totally different world between having a camera in front of you, a camera behind you, being all mic'd up, and having to go walk down a hallway 5 times to get the shot correct, you know, versus, you know, 3 or 4 people in a house, you know, seriously investigating and concentrating on the investigation and not have to backtrack yourself because you didn't walk down the hallway correctly. So it's a little different world. I'm really amazed that if and when they do capture real evidence, that they do capture it because of all the disturbance and all the sidetracking that you do when you're filming a show. But, you know, every now and then something pops up. But, you know, the funniest thing about it is the best evidence that the Ghost Adventure guys ever got was the first evidence that they had, and they didn't have a bunch of cameramen standing on top of them. It was just, they were actually going in and investigating like any normal, you know, guys that had an interest of doing would do, and they caught their best evidence to date, that they had real live evidence, you know. So, and a lot of that evidence was at the Washington Club, which was going to be in about 2 or 3 weeks. So,
yeah, exactly. Well, I think it's better when they do it like that, you know.
Yeah,
just those guys and their cameras, and no 10 million people. There's no sound guy, no camera guy following around. There's, you know, the guy outside the craft services table isn't serving up those horrible bagels that they serve all the time. I mean, you don't have any of that going on. But I know with like big shows like Ghost Hunters and stuff, there's like 40 people on that location and stuff. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, there's always, I know Zach always says, you know, we don't, that's part of his stick is, you know, we don't have a big crew following us around. Well, somebody's behind them taking the photos, taking the pictures with all three of them in the, you know, on set. So they do have a crew that follows them around. And,
they don't have like 40 people. They have three other guys to go with them.
Yeah.
And that's usually Billy or David or somebody else that, you know, from out there.
Right. I mean, granted, they're not as huge as some of these other shows with their crews. And another thing we should mention is that on these shows, usually it takes them anywhere from 3 days to a week to actually do an investigation at these locations. So that's just another interesting thing. And most people are in the house for, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours.
Yeah.
When they invest in it. So
they got to sit there and they got to stay there until they've got an hour's worth of show or half hour worth of show.
Yeah.
I know Ghost Hunters, when they've gone filming, they've been to a place, you know, that can take up to like 11 days at a location just to get enough footage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. So, I don't know. It's a totally different world. But that's the fun thing about it. That's where most people are learning their craft, learning the skills of investigating is through these shows.
Yeah, but they don't show them all the good stuff, like how many hours you sit there in front of the monitor watching DVR footage. You know, you're looking at somebody's bathroom
white
for like
for hours.
You know, 8 hours a day. You're like, dude, can't handle this no more. Getting claustrophobic.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the glorious part of investigating. It's a lot of work. For those of you out there who are thinking about getting into the paranormal field, think about that. It's a lot of work.
A lot of work.
But if you go to an investigation or go on location to a spot, it's exciting because you're getting out and you're doing something different. You're exploring something new. But when you get behind that DVR camera and you're just watching that hallway for 9 hours, it's crazy.
And then not to mention the dangers involved of investigating locations that are possibly, you know, of a negative character. So, you know, there's a lot to be said about the excitement of it, but there's also a lot to be said about, you know, what the hazards of investigating the paranormal. And if it's something you really want to get into, you really have to, you know, do some soul searching and some educating yourself about the ins and outs of it, for sure.
Well, I think that's one of the things that kind of leads to the excitement at the same time. They really want to go, but they're scared at the same time a lot. I know a lot of, and that's what I think the difference is between paranormal investigators and a lot of ghost hunters out there. A lot of ghost hunters are trying to just go out there and document something or see if they can catch something. It's all about the thrill of it. You know, they're scared, but they got to go do it because their friends want to go have fun and they're scaring each other. And that's all fun and dandy, but that's not what a paranormal investigator does. A paranormal investigator does the investigating and the research behind it, all that long, tedious stuff that goes along with it, as well as the excitement. You know, and they know more about the dangers. I've seen a lot of people trying to get into the paranormal industry, and they go on a couple of investigations, and something freaks them out, and then they just drop it and never want to talk about it ever again.
Yeah, and I have as well. It's interesting that people really, you know, there is a thrill behind it. There's that you get, but it's some. What's the old saying? Be careful what you wish for, because you might get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that, because they go, oh, I hope I see something, and they see something, and they freak out and goes, oh, my God, did you see that? Whoa, I'm getting out of here. It's like, wait a minute. Are they'll sit there and go, can you make a noise? Can you do something for us? And then something happens. We're like, no way, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah,
so you do something, and it's being nice and doing something for you. I mean, come on.
Here's an interesting story for you quickly. A couple years back at Preston, we at the Paracon, we were investigating upstairs, and we had one of the gals from that joined us a lot of time from Nevada. It came to Ione, California, for the Preston Paracon, and brought her niece. Her niece kept bugging her, "I want to go. I want to investigate. I want to go. I want to do what you do," and blah, blah, blah. So she goes, okay, well, I'm taking you to Preston. You know, we're going to meet Doug. We're going to meet all the other speakers and everybody, and we're going to, you know, and you'll see how it's done. I'll show you how it's done. She goes, okay. And she wanted to learn how to use the rods. She wanted to use the dowsing rods. She thought she saw that on TV one time and says, yeah, that's cool. I want to do that. So during the upstairs, I think it was in the big dorm room. I think it's the second floor up there. And there was a crowd of people kind of circled around in the dorm room, and they were calling out and asking questions. They were taking turns doing EVPs. And she pulled out her dowsing rods and had them in her hand and was asking questions. And she said something like, you know, are you here? Can you cross the rods? And the rods started swaying back and forth. And people are looking at her, and down, you know, after the fact, people are going, I would watch her and going, she's making that happen. There's no way that these rods can be whipping back and forth like that, but I didn't see her hand move. So I don't know how she was doing it, but she was making that happen. It looked like she was making that happen. So the rods were crossing back and forth, I guess, very rapidly. And then all of a sudden, they were snatched out of her hand and thrown all the way across the room. Everybody's jaw dropped to the floor when this happened. There was at least 20 witnesses to saw this happen.
Wow.
There was a mad exiting. There was about 8 people that ran out of that place, got in their cars, and drove home. They go, we got to go, and we're going now. There's no way.
Yeah, that's funny.
So it's like, and to this day, the young lady that was using the rod, she has no interest whatsoever of investigating the paranormal ever again. It freaked her out that much that something that she couldn't see had that kind of energy and power to yank these rods out of her hand and throw them across the floor. So it's like I said, be careful what you wish for, because it may happen someday.
You give me a sign and it rips the things out of her hand. Sure, that's a good sign. That's funny.
I thought that was pretty interesting. We do have a lot of the new people that come and want to just check it out for the first time. We do have a lot of people that will leave the investigations early. Usually the last hour, it's a free-for-all because there's hardly anybody left. So if you can wait the last hour, you've got the place to yourself.
Yeah, that's the magic right there.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. So, Friday night is going to be the Millionaires Club, right?
Yeah, Friday night is Friday night's the meet and greet, and that's from at the WashU Millionaires Club, or WashU Saloon, which is downstairs. And then after the meet and greet, from 9 to midnight, upstairs is going to be the Millionaires Club investigation. And then that'll, after midnight, everybody go get some rest, because Saturday morning we're going to kick it off 9:30, 10 o'clock with speakers, and we're going to go full bore until, 2 o'clock Sunday morning. So we're going to have a blast.
That's going to be at St. Mary's Hospital.
That's the same. Saturday's at St. Mary's Hospital.
That's awesome. Now, tell us a little bit about the St. Mary's Hospital. Tell us a little bit about the history of that.
Well, it was built back in the 1860s, I believe. It was built by the Sisters of Mercy, Catholic Church built it, and they built it mainly to help with the people of that area of Virginia City and the surrounding areas, because there wasn't any kind of hospital or anything out in that area, and, of course, all the miners as well that were in that area as well. So it was built back then. It's a four-story building. The basement, bottom floor, originally there is still the old stove there. That, they used wood stove. Is still there. There is a spirit there that was the cook there. And she does come out and present herself from time to time. Her name's Louisa. And Louisa makes her presence known from time to time there. She was originally left on the doorstep, so to speak, as an infant at St. Mary's. And the Sisters of Mercy took her in and raised her. And she stayed on as the cook for the hospital there and for the father and the sisters that were running the hospital. And she actually passed away there as well. So she loves it there. She's there all the time. And the one thing about St. Mary's I have to really stress, it's not a place we go in and do a lot of loud noises. We want to go in and be polite. We don't want to, cuss and swear and dare things to come out, We don't want to do anything like that. So, and you're going to get a whole lot more interaction if you're going to be in there to be calm, cool, collected, believe me. But down below the kitchen, there's administrative offices. They say there was a morgue down there at one time, but there's conflicting stories if there was a morgue or not. I'm assuming there was probably something down there that if somebody had passed, that they had probably stored their bodies for a while, especially during the winter when the ground was too hard to dig up. They usually stored the bodies for a while until the spring thawed out and the ground was so they could dig the graves for them. The next level upstairs is a lot of the administrative areas as well. And then we go up to the third floor, which is where the actual conference is going to be. There was a big dorm room, where they kept a lot of the patients at that time. There were some private rooms. And there was like a big dorm area. So that's in the third floor. And then the fourth floor upstairs is where the sisters was housed, as well as There's a 5150 room up there that they kept from time to time. They've had people that were, you know, not 100% and had to keep them in this particular little area to keep them under control. So there's some little bit of history in that room as well. So it's a four-story structure. Usually what we do is we break everybody up into teams of four, and then we each take a level. Everybody's got an hour to investigate, and then we rotate throughout the night. And the place is so big that we've always had plenty of room. There's plenty of rooms to go into. There's plenty of places just to disappear in on every level. So it's always been a great experience for myself and everybody else that's been there.
That's awesome. So it gives everyone a chance to check everything out for an hour, and then you switch floors. Now, there's four floors on there?
Four floors, yep. There's four floors. So you got the basement, and then three floors up from that. So, and each one is active. Each one has their own. There's plenty of spirits to go around in there. Believe me. And the great thing about it is there's still tickets left. There's still tickets left, and for our St. Mary's Paracon, we've always been lucky enough to be able to do buy one, get one free. So you buy one ticket, you bring your buddy along, and you know, and have a great time.
That's awesome. Now, what's that website again? People can get the tickets. I'm going to put it on the chat room right now. What is it?
Sure. It's www.stmarysparacon.com.
Paracon.com.
Yep. They can go to the website. They can, you know, choose the platinum ticket, which is, it's two for one platinum. That gives you the Friday night meet and greet, the Saturday, you know, Paracon, and then the investigation at the St. Mary's. The gold one will give you everything for Saturday. And then for those people that just want to come to the Paracon, don't have any interest or time to go investigating, there's a silver package as well. And then there's only a couple of tickets left, but if you do want to, you want to grab those last couple of tickets, there are the special Millionaires Club Friday night investigation. There's a couple of tickets left for that. So, and that's a separate from any of the other ticket packages. And unfortunately, those are not two for one, but there are two left for that if you want to do that too.
Oh, there's only two of those left, so people better get up and hurry then.
Yeah, there's they went like hotcakes really fast. So, I mean, any chance you can get up there and investigate, you know, the Millionaires Club up there for 3 hours, you want to jump on it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just being in there alone, taking the regular day tour must be pretty amazing, but getting the chance to investigate there at night's got to be over the top.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been up there half a dozen times on my own. There is an entity up there. There's a cowboy up there. The guy's about John Wayne size. He's about 6'4", 6'5", and he can be a little aggressive at times, to say the least. You'll hear him stomping up and down the stairs. He'll come and stand in doorways and just block out lights. He was probably the spirit that was following one of the ghost hunters, or I'm sorry, one of the Ghost Adventures guys that they caught on film. It was probably him falling across the ballroom floor there. So, yeah, he's very active up there. So he's an interesting character.
That's going to be great. Hopefully, if I'm dressed up as a cowboy, he'll come up to me and see what happens.
He just might.
That's very cool, man. All right, we only got a couple of minutes. For those of you who are listening, you're listening to My Darkest Hour right here on LiveParanormal.com and History FM Radio. We have been speaking to Doug Carnahan, who is going to be heading up the St. Mary's Paracon this year. We were talking about the investigation at the Millionaires Club and of course at the St. Mary's Hospital, which is going to be amazing. You know, I'm very excited, looking forward to it. If anybody has any questions out there and they want to contact you on the side, how would they be able to get a hold of you?
You know, they can always hit me up on Facebook. It's just, look, if you're not my friend already, please just hit me up on Douglas M. Carnahan and friend me. And if you have any questions or anything I can help you with, then just hit me up. Or my personal website is just www.dmcarnahan, carnahanpi.com. And then that has all my contact information, emails, phone number, date of birth, how much I weigh today, everything. So any kind of information you want on me, you can just go to that website there, and that'll get you to me.
Awesome, man. Well, we have to kind of wrap here. You only got about 2 minutes. Doug, thanks for coming back on the show and spending some time with us, man. I'm really looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me on. It's always a great time and fun to come on the show and share with everybody. And, of course, you put on an awesome show, so I really appreciate you allowing me the time to come on and run my mouth. I appreciate it.
Anytime, my friend, anytime. All right, everybody, that's going to be it for my darkest hour. I want to thank Doug again for spending time with us. Check out his website at MPI. Great team, doing all kinds of fun stuff. And for those of you that are trying to get out to Virginia City, I will be there. Doug, Psychic Don's going to be there. We're all going to have a great time. So if you guys can join us, you know, buy your tickets now because they are running out. And you can't beat a deal like buy one, get one free. So that's pretty good stuff. So thanks, Doug, and hopefully I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, brother. I'll see you in a couple of weeks, man.
All right, man. And that's going to be it for the show. I hope you guys enjoyed yourself and learned a little bit more about the St. Mary's Paracon coming up, a little bit more about what Doug has in the future. And we'll be following up after the event to kind of get a best of the St. Mary's Paracon kind of review and see what you guys think about the investigation and kind of experience what we had a chance to go out there and really check out and do. So we will see you guys next week right here on liveparanormal.com. You are listening to My Darkest Hour. Thanks for joining us.